The scripture reading today is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 in the New Testament. You say, "What can I bring with me when I come before the Lord, when I bow before God on high? Should I come before God with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 male sheep? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? Should I give my first child for the evil I have done? Should I give my very own child for my sin? The Lord has told you, human, what is good. The Lord has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people, love being kind to others, and live humbly obeying your God."
Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, for in you is justice and shalom. Amen. So you are more than likely familiar with today's scripture passage. You are probably more than familiar with today's scripture passage. It is one quoted often, right? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? Beautiful passage. In many ways, for us as a congregation, we have said that this passage is a good summary of a significant part of who we understand ourselves to be, our identity. Doing justice and loving kindness, we say, are essential to what we understand faith to be about. We understand that Jesus' whole message is about giving life, and giving life in abundance. Jesus came not only to give life in abundance, but to teach us to clear away the blockages that prevent this flow of abundance. And he calls his disciples to continue in this mission of giving life. That means he calls us, you and me, to continue in this mission of giving life. As Christian community, we understand that God's love and grace flow through us for the world, right? So we come together in community not solely for ourselves. As I talked with the kids, we come together in community for the world, but we understand there's a paradox, because first we have to figure out how to do this justice thing with one another, this kindness thing with one another. Because if I can't be forgiveness for you, if I can't be grace for you, if I can't be empowering and affirming for you, how in the world am I going to do it out there? So it starts here with us as community, but it's not about us as community. In a way, our community is like a practice ground for the rest of our lives. So together we live and we affirm that we know a God who cares. We live with trust, knowing that we do not have to carry the burdens of the whole world on our shoulders alone. And yet we also know that we are called to carry some portion of it. So the scriptures and our own lives abound with experiences of God's teaching, God's actions toward justice and wholeness. Moses and the people of Israel, right? The inclusivity with which Jesus lived his life and conducted his ministry. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 1930s, who took a public stance against Hitler and the Nazis. The young people in 1940s in South Africa who stood in protest against apartheid. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The Reverend Dr. William Barber. The Poor People's Campaign, and more. all working together to envision a world in which racial oppression is not the norm. So through the way of Jesus Christ, you and I are called to seek God's justice and shalom for all of creation. That's what we understand, that we are called to be environmental activists. We are called to be pursuers of human rights. We are called to promote and work for equality and liberty and justice. And we're called to do that not because it's some American ideal that our society says justice for all. We're called to do that because we understand that that is God's vision of shalom, of peace and wholeness and justice for every person. And so we trust. We trust that out of our relationship with God, the love of God will flow through us to others. We trust that by touching the core of myself and finding there the belovedness of God, what I do will grow from that. And whether I see results or not, it will make a difference. You see, when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we remember that revealing God's love to the world doesn't necessarily result in open-armed embrace from others. And yet, we are called to love anyway. As I was preparing for today's sermon, it struck me that the scripture passage is to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly. And I wonder if a reason why doing justice is named first is because we have a tendency, at least in this society, to be nice. And being nice doesn't bring about God's shalom. So we do justice and love kindness, but we work for justice in doing so. We don't be nice while keeping our thoughts and our dissensions to ourselves. We don't be nice while we watch others being attacked or oppressed. We don't be nice, because that's not loving kindness. So whether our actions are bold or quiet, this community of faith believes that we are each called to step forward in whatever way works for you. For some of us, that stepping forward is really public. And for some of us, that stepping forward is quiet and not as visible. But when we step forward in faith to proclaim God's justice and shalom through our own actions, reconciliation and healing become possible in that moment. So our conversation today is also about equity, not just justice and shalom. And I have struggled to wrap words around equity. So this was a good sermon for me to do some research on. And, you know, why am I in this, how do I describe it, limbo? We talk a lot about God's justice and shalom as a phrase. I use it a lot. I've probably said it about 6 times in my sermon so far, right? But we don't really hear churches talk about equity in the way our societal organizations are beginning to talk about equity. It used to be that when we talked about equity in a scriptural sense, that we spoke of justice and equity as if it's a continuum, right? And so that implies this sense of rightness. So we work for justice, and if justice isn't happening, then equity means that we look to higher principles, or we look to people in higher authority, and we seek justice through them, and when it happens, that's equity. Right? Equity, justice, fairness. That has been the scriptural model of the word equity for most mainline traditions. But I believe that that may not be what equity means scripturally. It is certainly not the conversation that we are having now. If we look at the world's economy through our eyes of faith, then what we are striving to create through our actions of justice is a world that looks and feels like God's shalom. A world that looks and feels and promotes God's wholeness. So we aren't simply working to make things equal, as if I give you a bigger box or a little more money, everything will be okay. Equal. So equity, from a Christian foundation, means that we are seeking to create a society based on God's economy of abundance and belovedness and care. In truth, it means that we are seeking to create a new society, because we understand that the society in which we live was not created by God. It was created by humans, with all our warts and failings. It was created a whole lot more in our image than it was ever created in God's image. And so equity says it's time to create society in a new image. In the serendipity of God, this week, a couple days ago, I had come across my desk a poem by Anna Bledel, right, that I think helps us understand this nuanced difference between equity and justice. Because in conversation, they can sound a whole lot alike, but in meaning and purpose and vision, they're very different. This is a story of a dream that begins with justice and changes to equity. So I share with you Anna's words. Weeping and weary, I found myself dreaming of a world where black kids can play outside without being murdered by those charged with serving and protecting. Where black youth can run and create and gather without being criminalized. Where queer and trans youth can find belonging and sanctuary from a hard world in faith-filled communities without being condemned as incompatible or divisive. Where elders are recognized as vital and collective wisdom, where brown people can gather for prayer without being terrorized or called terrorists, where trans folk can pee and work and date and live without facing harassment or violence, where women can exist and run and walk and golf and teach and study and work and organize and go on dates and hang outside without being assaulted, harassed, raped, murdered, and then blamed for the violence inflicted. And then I realized my dreams were too small and misdirected, as though the problem itself is the persistent presence and resistance of black lives, the presence and resistance of immigrants and refugees and migrants and folks who are forging multiple spaces of home and belonging, queer and trans and female flesh, daring to exist and insist on livable life. So, I dream of a world where prisons are abolished, and so is ICE, and so are the police. Where people have what they need, clean water, nourishing food, safe shelter, public education, public places of support and belonging, affordable and accessible, comprehensive health care, physical, reproductive, and mental. Where sites and sources of trauma are confronted with witness and withness. Where fierce and tender care is valued above institutional preservation, above individual success and profit. Where growing the economy is exposed as a capitalist lie, and we focus on redistributing the vast excesses and amassed wealth of resources that are already present. Where political, religious, and community leaders are selected and elected for their commitment to vulnerable communities and marginalized populations, not for their powers to manipulate or their ability to drive profit. Where Black lives matter. Where indigenous wisdom is honored, hospitality is extended, economy and ecology are grounded in eco-wellness, creating a healthy collective home where we can all flourish, where women are believed and respected, where queer and trans loves are recognized as sacred. We can slow down and savor and grieve and breathe and recognize that none of us are free until all of us are free. Our liberation is bound up together. Amen.